Welcome again to Cars Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Hulley and Mike Gregg. In this episode, we will be discussing the 4-2 loss for Fulham at Carroll Road on Saturday against Norwich City. We will go through the key moments of this match, along with rating the players, the Fulham manager, Norwich City, and the ref as well. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host to the show first. David, how are you doing, my friend?
Hiya, Russ, and hello again in a minute, Mike. Yeah, it was an interesting day, I suppose. We bumped into Mike, actually, in Norwich Town Centre, as I spent a bit of time with him, but I didn't sit with him at the match, so I'd be interested to hear what he has to say and everything. But I just saw your request saying that due to the dire match, you'd like to make the show closer to 60 minutes. Well, I think Mike and myself, we had to sit through 90 yesterday, so I think we should make you do the same today, Russ, actually. I'm sure there's plenty we can still talk about anyway. I've brought the board games today because Mike said he's going to do the impressions.
Okay. Well, listen, seriously, I have to be honest with you. I have pity on both you and Mike and all the Fulham supporters that had to sit through that. I watched it this morning, and dire would be a great way to put it. It was just horrible to watch back. And we'll go through it. We'll definitely go through it. You know, I definitely want to get your thoughts on everything that happened yesterday. It's just a terrible way to end the season. It's really been a poor season, and I guess it's fitting that they go out in a poor way. All right. Let's bring on Mike.
I mean,
Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah.
Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, hi,
Mike. Oh, there you are, Mike. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, and I agree with David. It was we should make you suffer and live every minute of it from yesterday. pretty much summed up the whole season was there in for 90 minutes. So, but no, seriously, I mean, it was a poor game and or a poor result and performance, and we'll obviously cover most of the points of it today.
Absolutely. We're going to go through it. And if you guys want to make me suffer, fine. We'll go the full 90. We'll go through 9 minutes of suffering talk about this match because I understand it. Again, this morning, luckily the Fulham website had the replay. And I basically watched this, and this is probably 90 minutes. I'll never get back in my life, but I did watch it. And it was not fun to watch. I'll just leave it at that. It definitely was not fun to watch. But Mike, I'll start with you. Let's get into it. Just give me your opening thoughts of your experience yesterday at Carroll Road.
I mean, we had a touch of I've been to enough end of season games to know how it's going to pan out. But it was a flat performance by ourselves. Fans turned up in good numbers, and I thought they deserved a bit better than what we saw. And really, from the moment I bumped into Dave before the game and he told me, have you seen the team, I probably knew then it was all going to be downhill. But, I was like going to Norwich. It's a nice city. It's a nice ground. And but we just didn't turn up at all. Players have packed their bags and are deciding whether it's Florida or Dubai, I'm sure.
You know, it's funny because it's definitely seemed like watching back the replay this morning, you know, really not closing down, didn't really show the energy that we saw the week before. And, I don't want to use the word checked out or words checked out, but it just didn't seem like they were up for it like Norwich City was. Again, they have something to play for going forward in the playoffs, but this is a match just to finish the season off. And they finished off in decent style, so kudos to them. Unfortunately, Fulham did not end the season well. David, what are your thoughts of what you watched yesterday?
Well, it was a very uninspiring lineup. You know, we heard Kit say on Friday about getting some youngsters involved or something, perhaps. And we thought, oh, well, he might just, you know, give a few new guys a game, or those guys who are going to be here next year. But it was like, it was the worst of worst. It was like, you know, We kept the worst of the kind of loan players, if anything, you know, the ones that we don't want to see next year. And we didn't have the youngsters in that we wanted to see in some ways. And it just was disjointed. It was, the team was disjointed, the lineup was disjointed, the system was disjointed, and the players were just disjointed, I think. And the only ones who were not disjointed were the fans, because they were having more fun with inflatable toys and things, you know, aeroplanes. And I got hit by an aeroplane before Laura Main nabbed it off everyone, and there was a few other things like pelicans, or I don't know what they were, flamingos were flying past. Yeah, the fans were in a party atmosphere, and as you think you said you heard, I'm not sure why they chose to do it, but they were singing for a long while, Just Can't Get Enough by Depeche Mode, but
right.
Changing the words to Brian Ruiz. And then they realised that actually he was shit, so they changed it to Pat Roberts, which was probably a bit more fitting. But yeah, the fans are in, you know, the fans were great. It was the team and Kit that weren't, unfortunately.
I'm glad that you brought up the fans, David, because, again, listening to it, I could hear the fans the entire match. And I feel bad for you, Mike, and the rest of the fans that were there, but you made the best of it, like you just said. You made the best of it. And actually, as away fans this year, I thought the Fulham fans were tremendous and, you know, really did a nice job. And, again, that was the one good thing that came out of this match, is that I could hear the Fulham supporters and, like you said, the songs. I could hear them. And that was the one positive to come out of the match, was the support yesterday from everyone. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Okay. David, before I go over to Mike and get his thoughts on the starting 11, you were touching on it a little bit. Anything else you'd like to say about it?
The starting 11. Well, I mean, yeah. Obviously, we hoped that we'd see Jim Husband play, or James Husband play, because I thought he'd been okay, and he was back. Obviously, we thought we'd see Grimmer, probably because he was back, but we got Hoogland, who's, you know, I like Hoogland, but I think he's ultimately had quite a poor season. And, of course, the dreaded Ashley Richards popped up again at left-back. Now, it's bad enough him playing at right-back because he doesn't go forward on the outside and get crosses in, but on the left side, he's even worse. He turns inside on his right foot and just slows the play down and everything else. So having him in there, Mr. Lightweight Kavanagh in there again, and, you know, and it was a 4-3-1-2 basically with Kavanagh, Guthrie and Tunnicliffe as the central three, and Ruiz just in front of them. And I guess you missed this, but on Match of the Day last night, Danny Murphy was talking about. I can't remember. He was playing. Mike will help me in a minute if he saw it. But they were playing a diamond. They were playing a diamond formation. They got roasted down the wings, yeah. And Danny Murphy said you could throw a coat over that diamond, i.e., it was so narrow, it was so tight.
Right.
And that's kind of, that's really, you know, that does sum up. It, although we didn't play the diamond as such, it was more flat three with one in front with Ruiz. But it was still, there's a lack of movement in there, and there was a lack of kind of width again. And, you know, Danny Murphy said, right, you know, if you're going to play the diamond, you can't play it this narrow because it's just, it's too easy to bypass. And I say, if Mike, you saw Match Today last night, you'd have seen that. I'm sure some of our listeners probably did see that last night. So it was just, I just don't know, it just didn't work really. It was the players, maybe they weren't up for it, or they just didn't like the changing system and the changing personnel once again. And it was just, say, it was, the lineup did absolutely nothing for me. I would have been happier to see, you know, a youngster make his debut. I would have been certainly happy to see Roberts get a start, even if he's
right.
Not, you know, the finish article. I would have been happier to see a proper left-back play at left-back, even if Stafalidis had played there, really, I think. You know, and of course, we'll talk about it as we go on, but the first substitution as well was very, very negative and very strange. It was the last game of the season. We had
yep.
Nothing to lose, really, and that just set the pattern for the whole match. And Kit was ultra-cautious and ultra-conservative, really. Again, even when we were losing, he was very reluctant to make changes, and it was only after he did ultimately make changes, albeit too late, that we came to life a little bit, as you probably would have noticed from the replay. So
yes,
that's my take anyway. I'm sure Mike will be saying much the same, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, we will be talking about the substitution early, because I think that is a key moment, David. I'm glad that you brought that up, but I will be talking about that in just a couple minutes. But I do want to go over to you, Mike. And David brought up a player that I was disappointed not to see, and that was Husband. But during the broadcast that I listened to, Gentleman Jim mentioned that he was dealing with a knock, so I have a feeling that's the reason why we did not see husband, and that's unfortunate. I don't know about the situation with Grimmer. It could be a similar one, but I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11 because, as David said, the way it played out, it was a very disjointed starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, if husband was injured, fair enough. I'm not sure about Grimmer because I thought I saw him get on the couch when they were leaving. But either way, you know, there are other options to give players a chance. And yeah, when I saw the lineup, I think I tweeted, you know, five of those players technically aren't Fulham players at the end of this month. You know, we've got some loanies going out and contracts up. And yeah, of course, I would have wanted to see Grimmer play. I would have played Kavanagh or husband at left back. And, you know, we spoke about the midfield options the other day, and Guthrie probably had to start in the middle with Tunnicliffe because we just don't really have a midfielder who's an actual Fulham player. You know, we could have thrown Fofana in as well, and Ruiz.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking, Mike. I'm glad that you brought him up. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ruiz, what's the point? You know, because he's had his last show last week, and he's not going to stay. We're not going to option his contract. You know, he's off, and so is Hugo. And even McCormick, you know, there was talk that McCormick's been carrying this injury for 6-7 weeks. What is the harm of not starting Woodrow or Dembele or even both of those? You know,
right.
Let's give them a start. And so, yeah, as David said, it was a Simon's team, wasn't it? It was, you know, very, you know, let's not be exciting. Let's play Kavanagh. Let's play, you know, those three sort of sitting in midfield. And it was all just very flat. And I'm not going to talk about the subs at the moment, but certainly even the first one he made was uninspiring. And then the double substitution he made was too late. And it just, that whole lineup just summed up Kit's philosophy. I think he talks about his philosophy, doesn't he, in his interviews and how he had to change it. Well, if that was it, then, you know, I certainly don't want to see much more of it.
Mike, the way that I would describe it would be it was static. It just wasn't, you know, again, it wasn't a unit. You know, it's funny because if you compare that to Norwich City, how they played, and they were very fluid, and everyone had a role, and they all played in their role, and their goals, we're going to go through the goals. They were cupcake goals, as we would say over here. They were easy. They were so easy, and that's frustrating, and we'll definitely go through it, but let's go through the key moments, and I'll go right back to you because you brought up something that I want to start with. I want to talk about the substitution. David brought it up as well. I was surprised by the substitution. I understand that Hoogland had to go off, but I want to get your thoughts about bringing on Bonnaroff and playing him in that role at right back.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just didn't make sense at all. You've got a natural left-footed young player, Kavanagh, who, yes, he's, you know, he's got a lot of stick recently and he's playing out of position. That's what people forget. And, you know, it was an ideal opportunity to put Richards back over at right back and Kavanagh drop into left back. And then you've got natural footed people in the full back positions. And then you bring on another midfielder, you know, Fofana, could have been Roberts, you know, just to... It was very early in the game to sort of say liven up because it hadn't settled into its rhythm. But that would have made sense to me. And, you know, and I'm someone who said Bodroff could play at right back. But with the options we had, it was safety first again. Let's not rock the boat. Let's, you know, and, you know, I'm not a fan of Richards. Oddly enough, he was one of the better performers yesterday defensively. But as David said, he's got no left foot. He has to go in on his right foot all the time, and the ball was going backwards to Byrne or to the goalkeeper nearly every time he had the ball. He never found Kavanagh once, I don't think, down the left. So yeah, very disappointing. You could sense it within the crowd as well. And, even, you know, at half-time, everyone's saying, well, why the hell haven't we swapped it around? And, again, it just sums up his mentality, a defensive mentality.
That's again, that's a great analysis. And the one thing that I notice, again, nothing against Bodaroff. You know, I've liked what he has brought us, Mike. But the one thing that again just shot off the replay was a cross that he had, and it was a horrible cross. I mean, you're asking someone to do something that he doesn't do that often, and it's the last match of the season. Why not switch things around, move Kavanaugh back, and then bring on a central midfielder like we're talking about? It's the last match. It was, you know, again, not. It was playing it safe, and it's the last match. Why does it, you know, why does it matter? And he's not a right back. You have said that you could play him in that role, and obviously you can. But come on, you know, it wouldn't have been too much to shuffle things around and bring on a central midfielder instead. But that's not what he decided to do. All right, let's move on. David, I'm going to go to you. And before I ask you about the first goal, just want to mention that, honestly, Ross McCormack had a decent opportunity to score early on in the first half. And, you know, and again, Fulham had decent for how dire the game was. There was a decent little spell, very small, decent spell. But McCormack did have that opportunity, but everything changes in the 36th minute, and Norwich gets the goal, because I did do that, as Gary Hooper pulls back a pass, and Bradley Johnson scores on a fairly easy opportunity. Talk about this.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually saw this coming for a minute or two, and I said to Minnie Ruiz, who's sitting next to me, because in the first instance, Kavanagh's let his man go down the left. I think, obviously, when they attack down the left, it's for Richardson, for Kavanagh to double up on, you know, whoever's running down the right back or right midfielder. And Kavanagh hasn't done his bit. Richard's probably done his bit, but Kavanagh hasn't done his bit. And so he's chasing empty space back. So Dan Byrne has then gone out to kind of a left-back type position, because Richard has already gone out there to cover, which meant that Kavanagh has then gone into the middle, into Dan Byrne's position, to cover Dan Byrne. But then the ball's been played through to Hooper, and Kavanagh's, well, one, he's let him go, and two, he's not really even put a challenge in. I think he's just been shrugged off too easily. You know, the guy's, I don't know what he's done, he's just sort of, you know, moved his hand slightly, and Kavanagh's just like, you know, he's just too lightweight. And so Hooper's had an easy pullback. And then obviously you can, yes, you've got to say, well, where were the rest of the defence, but if you get into the box like that, to the byline, you can pull back. You know, the world's your oyster, almost, really. That's the great position to be in, because that's the one that sort of upsets the defence most, getting the pullbacks on the line. So it's ended up as an easy tap in there, but it's all been coming for a couple of minutes from Kavanagh not tracking back on the first one, and then not, you know, getting beaten too easily on the second one, not tracking back again. I suppose you could say, yeah, well, Dan Byrne shouldn't have gone out there, but I think Dan Byrne was being responsible in that he was trying to, you know, protect. Okay, it wasn't an aerial ball that we got beaten by, so, you know, there's no reason why Kavanagh shouldn't be able to. You'd expect him to be quicker over the ground than Dan Byrne, but it was in his mind. And that was really like, that just set us off again, because it was, you know, after that, it was 2-0 very quickly after that as well. So that kind of just was the camel that broke the straws back, I think, in this case, actually. That's a deliberately the wrong way around, yeah?
No, listen, I agree with you, David, and since you mentioned this, I'm going to go right back to you, because let's talk about this, because Gentleman Jim just said he could just tell right after that goal that things could change, you know, again, that they could go on from here, and they did. It's only 3 minutes later, they get the second goal, and again, this is Nathan Redmond, scores from the left side of the box to make it 2-0. Again, nice goal, but right off the bat, 3 minutes later, 2-0. So talk about this goal.
Well, people said that was a good goal, and he hit it well, but if people don't close you down, I mean, even myself and Mike at our age, if people don't close us down, we would have a chance of scoring goals like that, because, you know, it was just far too easy. He cut in from the other side, you know, and just was unhindered, almost, just completely unhindered. And, you know, he just picked his spot. That's how it worked out, And that was, I don't think we'd recovered from the first goal, really, at that point. We just, you know, we weren't organised. We didn't know what we were doing. People were struggling to know who was doing whose job. So Yeah, far too easy. Very, very, very poor defending.
Yeah, absolutely, David. And again, you know, listen, Fulham tried to get a goal before the end of the half, but the half ends with Fulham down 2-0. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you. And, again, I'm calling this a key moment because I'm thinking, in my mind, Kit should make some changes. I've seen so many times when a team has been down 2-0 to make changes to start the second half. So I want to ask you your thoughts of no changes to start the second half.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was hoping that we would make one change, if not a double. But, of course, that wasn't going to happen, was it? But, yeah, in the last game of the season, Roberts and possibly Dembele, you know, looking for a chance to get on, I might have thrown both of them on at half-time and took a gamble. But I also think partly in the back of Kit's mind is, McCormick's carrying an injury. So why did he start? So you can't call these subs on the basis that you're going to be a man down because people are carrying injuries, which, you know, again, goes back to the team he picked. You know, why not pick a fully fit team knowing that you're going to use all 14 players, you know, including the subs? But, yeah, it was disappointing. And as the half progressed, you kept looking at him warming up and thinking, oh, who's he bringing on? Who's it going to be? And, okay, he brought Smith on and Smith scored, but I was a bit disappointed in that. You know, Dembele's done well in the under-21 games I've seen him play recently. He's bulked up a hell of a lot since we last saw him. And Woodrow's had a few chances. So it should have been Dembele and Roberts on at half-time, or certainly 5-10 minutes afterwards.
Okay, very good. And listen, I couldn't agree with you more. Mike, you know, I'm glad that you brought up Colley and bring up Moussa Dembele, because nothing against Hugo. And Hugo actually had a decent opportunity to score early in the second half. I like Hugo, but I really don't think Hugo's going to be part of Fulham next season. So why not take a look at two young players that might be a part of Fulham next season? But he goes with Hugo and keeps Hugo in the match. And David, then I'm going to go over to you, because I do want to talk about the substitution, because eventually it does come, and Mike's already touched on it. We have Matt Smith and Pat Roberts coming on. I want to get your thoughts about these two substitutions and overall just their impact on the match.
Well, I think this was actually probably the right sort of combination, because this was a game where we definitely needed a plan B, because plan A, well, if plan A existed, I'm not sure if plan A did exist, actually, but if there was a plan A, it certainly wasn't working, so we needed to do something different. So I support the fact of bringing Smith on. I know it's kind of an obvious move, but, you know, ultimately, he's scored a great goal. Probably would have got a second if Johnson hadn't have put it in anyway. So I support that, but obviously Pat Roberts was the big one that we all wanted to see, and my only complaint about that is that it was a bit late. It should have been at the start of the match, or certainly at half-time. And had he not been so negative bringing on Bodiroff for Haugland, as Gentleman Jim said.
Yes, he did.
It's not just you, I do Norwich's on, you see. I do Gentleman Jim's Haugland as well. If it's not been the negative that, we could have had Fofana on. We'd have had a bit more cut and thrust, maybe, you know, at that point. So I don't disagree with the subs. It was just the timing was too late. I'm not sure if it was, you know... He was left in a situation, you see, also, where he had to take off Kavanagh then, which we were a little bit unbalanced in a way, because, you know, we'd been playing to a system of 4-3-1-2, but once Roberts was on, we kind of had two free roaming players in Roberts and Ruiz. So it was kind of a bit of a make it up as you go along. We didn't have a lot of shape to us, really, because Roberts was on the left, on the right, and poor old Ruiz was just having to kind of cover wherever Roberts wasn't, really, and he was just became a bit part player once Roberts was on, because Roberts was the one who looked like he was going to try and do stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not unhappy with those subs. I mean, Dembele, yes, I'd like to see him have a go. Woodrow, no, I think, you know, he's had quite a few opportunities recently. And to be honest with you, he's been a bit wasteful when he's had goal-scoring chances. So, you know, he'll get other chances, but he wouldn't have offered anything different. I'm not sure if Dembele would have done either. Certainly Matt Smith did offer us something different, maybe a little bit route one, but, you know, it certainly, we looked a bit better when he was on, I think, which is probably not very hard, to be honest with you, because we weren't that good before he was on. But no, the subs are fine. It's just the timing of them, really, again.
I agree with you. I think it's about the timing for me. You know, again, I'm glad that you brought up Moussa Dembélé. I agree with Mike. I wanted to see Moussa Dembélé on that. But again, it didn't happen. Obviously, understand why, but I wish he did play in this match. Mike, I'm going to go over to you before we talk about the goal by Norwich City that put the match definitely away at 3-0. I just want to mention that Sean Hutchinson actually had a decent opportunity to score with less than a quarter of the match to go. So that leads you up to going to the 81st minute, and this is the goal by Graham Dorns. That makes it 3-0 for Norwich City. And, Mike, again, this is a cupcake goal. That's the only way I could put it. This is an easy goal by Norwich City. Talk about this.
Yes. If anything, it's the worst goal when you look at it. I watched it just before I came on the show, and I would say people watch it again and watch Bodroff. And for his lack of anything, just watching him there, that's enough for me to just say, here's your contract, bye. Because absolutely no effort in helping the other players try and block the ball coming back. And, it's shocking. Shocking goal. And
Horrible, Mike. I think this was the worst one.
Yeah, it just summed up everything. You know, you're watching players turn their backs on people and just, not. I wouldn't even call it jogging, strolling, you know, walking the dog or something, I don't know, but they weren't playing football, that's for sure. And absolutely horrendous. And that's partly why, you know, the lineups and the players playing yesterday should have been players playing for, you know, who know they're here. Well, maybe if they don't know they're playing for a contract. And there's too many there who it looks like, you know, oh, I've got a year left on, I can't be arsed. And they need the right kick up the arse, and they need their P45, and they need to get out because I don't want them here next year. You know, we've got some decent youngsters who are looking up at these players, experienced internationals, and that's the effort they're putting in. You know, even if they're not playing, they're sitting in the stands watching these guys, and absolutely no inspiration from them at all, and yeah, just move them out. But, yeah, that goal's horrendous.
That goal was horrendous. Mike, I'm going to be coming back to you in just a couple minutes because I definitely want to get your thoughts on their last goal, too, because, again, that's a bad one as well because, again, we're talking about how they ended this match. And that one, you know, when you look back at it, and I watched the final one, we're going to talk about it, that one's a little shocking, too. But we'll get to that in a few minutes because I want to go back over to you, David, because, again, only a couple minutes later, Fulham actually score. Matt Smith scores, you know, from, you know, again, just a nice volley and puts it in the back of the net, makes it 3-1. Talk about this, and this is kind of shocking. You know, again, just a couple minutes after the goal, Fulham actually get one back.
Yeah, it was actually, I think it was a long ball or a high ball to Smith. The first header hasn't really been cleared. And he's got back into position just outside the box, pretty central. And it's a nice volley. It's a well-controlled volley, a nice strike. It's not one of those, you know, world-class ones that you hit and it sort of swerves into the top corner. It was just well-controlled, a nice shot. But he took it really well. And, you know, this is what surprised me about Smith. We know what he can do in the air. You see the size of him when he's playing, yeah?
Right.
Mike said he looked a bit lumbering yesterday, but I think he's deceptive because I think he's actually quite quick across the ground. He's like anything. If you watch a jumbo jet, a Boeing 747 take off from the end of the runway, it looks like it's struggling to make it in the air. But if you're actually sitting on a 747, you really fear the power of the way it goes away. And I think it's a bit like that. I think because of his size, he perhaps comes across as lumbering, whereas someone like Roberts, who's short, looks very quick and everything. But I think he's deceptively quick, Smith. And for me, he's been a lot better on the ground than I was expecting. I really just thought we were going to see someone who's going to score headers and win headers. But, you know, he's taken it nicely, so you've got to give him credit for that. At least he has done the back of the net, and he's done it more than once since he's been back with us. It's not a fluke, you know. It's not David Elm, one goal in however many appearances, you know.
Which boy, you're bringing anyway, back someone to Swede David Elm. Oh, boy, you're going back. Yeah, okay.
That's right. But, you know, I thought you've got to give him credit. He took it nicely. At least he managed to get it in the net. And I think he's someone that I wouldn't say you build the team around, but he's definitely someone worth keeping, at least as a plan B, if not as a starter.
See, I agree with you on the plan B, and I will call him a pleasant surprise. And you're given the reasons why he's been a pleasant surprise. He's more than just someone that can head the ball down. He can actually put it in the back of the net, you know, with his foot, and he actually does a decent job. You know, again, better than I thought he would. So you got to give him credit. But going back to what Mike has always said, I would prefer him as a plan B. I like how Mike puts that. He shouldn't be your plan A. He should be your plan B, and it's not a, I'm not a bad plan B, to be honest with you. Okay, Mike, I'm going to go back over to you. We are now 3-1, but let's move to the first minute of stoppage time. And Norwich City has a free kick. They take it a little quick. They have plenty of room to shoot. Bradley Johnson puts it in the back of the net. Talk about this, because, again, I watched it back, and I was shocked at how much room Johnson had off of this free kick.
Yeah, well, it's from a, you know, Guffey makes the foul, and it's a long way out. But, yeah, as you say, they sort of roll the ball to the player, and he's got 10, 15 yards in front of him before a Fulham player gets near him, who then turns his back. And then you have another Fulham player behind a Norwich player who turns his back, who I think is Byrne. I'm not sure who the first player is. But the shot isn't that wild that they should be turning their back on it. And again, it's, you know, we went to sleep. We're not picking up players. We're thinking what time the plane takes off tomorrow to go on holiday. And just waiting for the game to end. And that's what happened. You get punished. And it just sums up some of the goals in this game, just sum up the whole season. Closing down, switching off, and just letting people walk through and take pot shots. I mean, I think we'll look at stats later, but it must be 15 to 20 shots they had throughout the game. And there's a lot there to turn around for next season. We need to do a complete 180 degrees turn from the way we defend now and lose games and turn them into wins. And it's going to take a hell of a lot. It's going to take new players, new coaching, and a new emphasis on team and working as a team.
Right, and that's a big part of this, Mike. You know, when I'm watching this and I'm seeing this and I'm thinking about teams of the past, and I know I do this a great deal, but I look at the discipline of a team under Hodgson and I compare it to this, and it's night and day. It's really horrible to do the comparison. I know that it's different leagues. I get that different style of play, different level of play, but you know what? What that team had, and we've seen in this division, when teams play together as a unit, they can win matches. And this team, it looked like 11 players out there. It did not look like a team that was playing for each other, playing together. I shouldn't say, not saying that they're not great teammates who want to play together, but they're not on the same page. And that's what you see here. And again, these goals in this match were disgusting to watch back, because I think some of this is just down to lack of discipline and lack of playing together and really going for it and having that desire. Even in the last match, I know it doesn't matter in the standings, but go out on a high. Don't go out limping, and this is going out limping in a bad way. And like you said, getting ready for the holiday. You know, I get that, but this is a terrible way to end the season, honestly. After the victory last week against Middlesbrough, and then to end it like this, I guess it's fitting, but it doesn't sit well with me to end the season this way. All right.
Well, I also Russ. Let me come back, Russ.
Go ahead,
about
Mike.
About the team, you know, when you're talking about as a team, and I mean, I'm sure David saw it. I mean, there were couple of times, you know, Byrne and McCormick having some verbals with each other, and a couple of other players as well, and they're not showing, and some of the passes, I mean, I can't believe it's happening, but some of the passes I saw were almost, they almost looked telegraphed to get that person in trouble. So you know, whether that's just me reading too much into things, because I've played in teams where, you know, players do naughty stuff and play hospital balls and balls where, you know, what are you expecting me to do with this? But they don't,
right.
They're just not a unit. They're not a unit, and that's because you've got players on loan, a high percentage of players on loan, players whose contracts are up and don't know what they're going to be doing. And, you know, just they just want the season to end like the fans did, but they just, you know, they're the ones getting paid decent money for doing it, and we're the ones who have had to shell out to travel to these places. And what they offered yesterday was, you know, was on a par with the big defeats this season. You know, it was 4-2, okay, but for me it was one of the worst performances.
Listen, it looks better than it really was, and I'm glad that you described that, because, again, we get a goal at the very end of the match, an own goal to make it 4-2, and the score line does not indicate how poor Fulham played. It was worse, and I'm glad that you said that, Mike. This is one of the poorest performances. 4-2 makes it look better than it really was. It was bad. It was really bad. Like I said, I watched it back this morning. It's like, this is garbage. You know, I hate to put it that way. It's garbage. You know, and part of it is just the way that they did not play together. And I'm glad that you talked about what you witnessed and what you're thinking about, because it's not what I want from the team that I follow, that I love. I want to see a team that's playing together and go down together. And you brought up a good point. We have half the players on loan. You know, do they really, you know, want to be at Fulham? You know, who knows? I don't know. Maybe they do, but they certainly are not all on the same page. Definitely not. And David, before we move on and go to stats, any final thoughts?
No, I think I did see Brimmer there because I saw the team leaving. I'm pretty sure I did see him, so I'm sure he was fit to play yesterday. He
okay.
talked about travelling. Did you see my stack of train tickets for the season? I put them on Twitter yesterday. I got a very good pile, sizable pile of train tickets. That's travelling to about, I don't know. Well, every match is an away game for me, effectively, isn't it? So I always have to travel a long way. But
you do.
No, I mean, I think, you know, the only thing would have improved it yesterday, and I'm not condoning it, is if the Blackpool fans had come on at half time and stopped the game. I think really.
David, okay, all right. Let's move on. Let's go to the stats and let's see what they reveal, and let's go through this. And these are the full time stats. Possession: Norwich City had 57% to 43%. Mike, very well for you to bring this up. Total shots: 19 for Norwich City, 8 for Fulham. On target, they had 8. Fulham had 4. Shooting accuracy: Norwich City was at 42%. Fulham were at 50%. Corners: Norwich City was at 4 and Fulham were at 3. Key passes: I like this stat because it kind of tells you a little bit about who's controlling the match. Key passes: Norwich City had 17. Fulham only had 5. Crosses: pretty even at 15 to 14, and those are pretty much the stats that I picked out for that. Mike, what stands out to you?
Yeah, just the usual sort of, you know, we allowed too many shots, and they were from inside the box, outside the box, they had so much space and time. It's the story of the season, you know, just allowing teams to shoot on, you know, whatever they want to do, really. And we have to improve that next year. Otherwise, you know, we're going to concede another 60, 70, 80 goals. And it's 83 goals throughout the season on top of what we saw last year. And it's even different players. So you can't even blame it on them. So it's fundamentally something not right on the training ground. So, you know, whoever is doing the coaching in that respect, they must be using a very old training manual or one that, you know, where the defensive training was just ripped out of, because they need to find someone to do that. And that has to be on the CV of any... If they're going to change managers, it has to be on the CV as, you know, what's your answer to teams that concede lots of goals and what are you going to do about it?
You know what's interesting, Mike, before I go over to David, is I read a very interesting article about Bournemouth and their rise this year and some of the things that Eddie Howe does. you know, again, in between the matches, and how he really studies each player after the match and lets the player know, you know, analyzes their play, what they need to work on, and really goes into detail. And every practice, Mike, is different. Every training session is different. Again, I find that interesting because it's more of a modern switch to what's going on. It's like you're really analyzing the stats. You're looking at everything, and you're trying to help the player get better, but you're also analyzing your own managerial prowess by changing things up. But, you know, again, that's – when I read this article, I thought, you know, Eddie Howe has something going on because he's really trying to improve not just the team but his own performance as a manager. And, you know, and I think about that, and I think about the same mistakes over and over again, Mike. It made me think about what – you know, what's going on with Bournemouth and why they're in the situation that they are. I think part of it does go to coaching.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all very easy to say, you know, once the players get on the pitch, you know, it's down to them. But the fundamentals, we see it now. The Premier League games are like chess, aren't they? You know, they've all got their positions. They know where players should be. The Championship is a bit more free-flowing, but in the end you still have to put out a team in some kind of shape and with instructions, and I worry that we are not. Some people get worried about stats and statistics and are you overloading players, but I wonder if we've sort of gone the opposite way and we're not using them at all, and we're actually playing and training, you know, from 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we're not learning lessons.
Right, right. And that's why I brought up the article that I read and the managerial way that Eddie Howe was dealing with his side. It just, you know, again, it was very interesting to read, and I believe I actually did post it on the College Talk Facebook page. I really got a great deal out of it. And it really just showed, you know, again, it's not just about using stats. It's also about, you know, analyzing everything about your team and saying, you know what, we need to work on this, we need to work on that, and trying to improve. And that's what, you know, again, you know, I didn't watch every Bournemouth match. I don't know how much they improve from match to match, but the fact that a thing that jumped out at me, like I mentioned, is that every training session is different. It's never the same because they're always working on something. That just tells me you've got a manager that's forward-thinking. He's thinking about improvement every single match, and that's what I would want from a full manager. Honestly, I want him to think of ways to improve the players, improve him, improve everything about the club. That's why, after reading this, I had a little bit of more of an admiration for what Bournemouth has done. Sorry about that. I had to go off on that little tangent because we are talking about you know, situations in this game that we saw the entire season, guys. Nothing improved. We've seen the same issues from the beginning of the season to the end, and that's what's frustrating. Over to you, David. I'm sorry.
No, well, I mean, in terms of the stats themselves, I think they don't lie on this occasion. Basically, we're second best on every stat, I think, and that's all you need to say about it, really. You've seen the game, and the stats tell absolutely the truth in this case, absolutely. In terms of, you know, Fulham being more analytical about stats, well, maybe Kit should have come over to us in America, as we're over in America, obviously, and listened to the show every week, because we reel out the stats and player ratings, and then he could have had a starting point to think, oh, yeah, well, we need to work on this and we need to work on that. Because you're right, it's something's missing. You know, there is another option, of course, and there is a much more simplistic answer to all these problems. None of our defenders are good enough. I mean, I don't know if we've considered that one, but, you know, harsh as it sounds, maybe none of them are good enough, and maybe we just need a whole new, better defence. Or certainly at least sort of three-quarters of the defence or something like that, because, you know, perhaps you could carry one player who isn't as good and they would, you know, they would benefit from having better players around them, but just, I don't know. Maybe we just don't have enough people who know how to defend properly. Harsh as it sounds, but certainly something's not right, because whichever combination we've played, and we've played, I think, every combination almost, the defenders, as Mike's pointed out, the same thing has been there more or less we've shipped goals, and we've shipped lots of goals. And apart from Scunthorpe, I think you said, Mike, we've it's been the highest ever number of goals shipped to be not to be relegated. So, you know, take that stat, Kit, you know, and put that in your pipe, really, because that's why, you know, it's fundamental, isn't it? You know, conceding goals. You know, talk about the table doesn't lie and stuff. You know, well, if you let goals in, you don't win games as well, isn't it? You know, it's fairly obvious, unless you can score more goals than you let in. But as soon as you start letting goals in, you make it hard for yourself. So, you know, the attack is the best form of defence, as we've said. And with a better attack, I think, and a better shape, perhaps we could have got rid of a few of these goals, but not all of them, I'm afraid. I think there just needs to be a major change, not just manager, but perhaps in the defensive personnel as well.
Okay, very, very interesting take there, David. And before we go down and rate the players, I want to ask you about a player that could not play because he was a lone player, and he was a lone player for Norwich City. Michael Turner, I think, has done a decent job. We're talking about, you know, players, you know, solid players. I'm curious, how much do you think Fulham missed him yesterday?
Jury's out for me. I'm not sure if he's better overall than what we have. Yes, he has the experience, but he's wrong side of 30 and everything. He's done okay, but I haven't seen anything outstanding from him, not really.
Okay.
He's been a reasonable player, but
a reasonable player. Okay, Mike, I'm curious your thoughts, because again, when we're going through this, we're talking about discipline.
Yeah.
I thought that you know, again, Dave brings up a good point. He's reasonable, but I'm just talking about his performance this season. Do you think he was missed yesterday?
I think we spoke about this yesterday, and he's done okay, but he's almost been invisible as well, in the fact that he hasn't really stood out. Now, I don't know if that was a good or a bad thing. You know, I mean, Hughes never ever stood out, but
right.
I'm not convinced. You know, that he. I mean, I think he's useful, and I think if he came in, he'd be a good player to have. But is he going to make a difference? I don't think so. And you may have seen, Russ, that I've sent out a couple of polls today, and on one of them, it's who we keep for next season, and I've asked about the loanees, and so far Turner, 65% say yes. Now,
wow,
that's not what Hudson's getting 95%, so that shows you, and Fofana's getting 80%. So it shows, you know, I wouldn't say the jury's out on him, but it's a case of if there's someone better, I'd prefer them. You know, so I'm
okay.
It's a bit of much. Is he going to offer us anything? Is he going to make a difference to get us promotion? I don't think so. So we should look elsewhere.
Okay, fair enough. I was just, you know, kind of just thinking about, you know, again, players that were out because Hudson was out as well, and it's interesting to see how many fans want him back. And I actually agree with that totally. And Mike, I'm glad I had not seen your polls, and I love when you do your polls, by the way. And we're going to be doing review shows coming up, and I definitely, if you don't mind, I'd like to use some of your analysis from your polls and use them in the show, because again, that's partly what I want to do. I want to talk about players we want to keep, players, you know, that maybe we don't want to keep, and analyzing everyone's performance over the season. So if you don't mind, Mike, you know, in the upcoming shows, maybe I can use some of your data.
Yeah, no problem at all. I should have the results over the next couple of days. So, yeah, use them as much as you like.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. All right, guys, let's move on. David, you don't have to call out yet, right? You got about 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been busy doing Mike's polls, actually, today. I'm sure Mike knows, because I'm sure he can track who does them. But, yeah, I did both of them this morning. I hope my answers were suitable, Mike.
Were you the one who voted for following them, then, as player of the year?
Oh, God.
No, that wasn't me, and you know that, Mike. So I voted for Ruiz.
yeah, I bet you did, David. I bet you did. All right. All right, let's rate the players. Let's just do it. You know, again, I've been doing this lately. Just for time's sake, I just want to do Bettinelli, the back four, the midfield, and then we'll do the guys up front. And we'll also rate rate the players that came on as substitutes, because I think that's important as well. And maybe we'll do Hoogland and do Bodaroff together. But let's start with Marcus Bettinelli, David. Give me a rating for Marcus in this match.
Didn't you mean Hoogland anyway? But
Hoogland.
We got 39 minutes to run still, so we don't have to rush too much. We've got to span it out.
You really want me to suffer today, don't you?
We've got to say Norwich as many times as possible as well, just in case they win their playoffs and we don't have to play them next season, remember? So we've got plenty to get through. Bettinelli, anyway. I don't think you can really blame him on any of the goals. They were all down to defensive failings, not what anything he did directly. Could he have saved any of them? I don't know. Maybe you get lucky sometimes, but I can't blame him on any of those things. Did make a couple of comfortable saves, but really a game where he had little involvement in kind of any of the sort of major things that went on, so I'm going to give him 6 out of 10.
Okay. Over to you, Mike.
Yeah, he did his job. He didn't make any glaring errors, and the shots at him he saved. The goals, I wouldn't put him down to him. There were some good strikes there. So, 6 out of 10 for Bettinelli.
Okay, great. All right, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you. Let's do the back four plus one, because I want to include Nikolai Bodaroff in here, because he did go on for Hoogland. Honestly, don't even rate Hoogland, because it was only 9 minutes. So forget that. So let's just do Bodaroff, Hutchinson, Byrne, and Richards. I'm curious, especially on Richards.
Well, I think you'll be surprised, actually. Hoogland, he's not going to get a score. Bodaroff, I'm going to give a 3. I mean, we've let him 4 goals. We've let him 4 goals. We haven't defended well. I've watched him jog for 2 of the goals. Very disappointed. And I'll be quite happy to see him go up. He's shown promise, but he's fallen asleep a number of times. So I don't think he's as good as we hope he is. Pack your bags, back to Europe, mate. The centre backs, I'm going to give Hutchinson and Byrne. I'll give them both a 4. I would say they did their job, but I don't think they did. They're turning their backs on the ball. Their passing from the back was poor. Some of Hutchinson's passing again, would give me a nightmare if I was playing to the right or left of him. And Byrne had a weird sort of run forward in the second half.
I remember.
Almost becoming a forward. But, it was a real disappointment. And especially as, a few of us have called for Hutchinson and Byrne to play together. And, the fact that I think it may have only been their second time. So it's difficult to judge. But, 4 each for them. And Richards, I'll give him a 4.5. I thought, he was the best. It's not saying a lot, but he was the best out of the back four. He was probably against their most trickiest player. He's got no left foot at all, and he was passing it back, being a bit negative. But, right in front of us, he was doing an okay job. So 4.5 for Richards.
Okay. Ashley Richards, that's a player, honestly, I still don't get, Mike. I don't get the interest in this player from Kits. Well, I think I do get a little bit, but, it's not someone that I want to see back. But kudos to you for giving him a Mimi Mirowich kind of rating of 4.5. I like it. All right, David, over to you on the back four without Hoogland, and let's put in Bodaroff.
Well, Bodaroff, I think Mike was a bit harsh because he did a couple of runs down the wing. He did even some attempted step overs at some point.
He did.
It added to the entertainment value, I think. So I think you'd be very harsh there, Mike. at least he did try to do something entertaining. So your 3 is too little, I think. But and he's also been asked to do a role which perhaps isn't really his natural role. So you could blame some of that on Kit. So I'm going to give him at least an extra mark, I think, because he was okay, but it wasn't his position. They should have reorganized differently when Hoogland went off. So I'm going to give him 4, actually. And the 2 in the middle, I didn't see them making obvious mistakes. It was more of a collective thing, I think, that obviously we've conceded four goals through a combination of stuff. There wasn't a glaring error by one. So I suppose you do have to share the load and give them both low marks. Again, I think Dan Burns should actually get a bit extra for his comedy run forward, where he actually sort of stuck a long leg out and poked the ball forward. And I think it was to McCormack or something. He was actually waiting for the return and he didn't get it, which was disappointing because he did try. So I'm going to give Hutchinson 4.5 and I'm going to give Burns 5, even an extra half for that. Richard does drive me mad because he has got a left foot. I have seen him use his left foot a couple of times, but it's just, I think it's actually the way he plays. He just is so unadventurous. He just stops and turns inside. He makes John Arnarisa look adventurous because he used to always stop and turn inside and pass the ball back to Hangland. And he does it at the time, and he puts us under pressure, and he does it on the right as well. I just think it's his game. I don't think it's actually the way he plays particularly. So and the fact that, okay, defensively he was better than Bodaroff, but at least Bodaroff tried to get forward a bit. I'm going to go the other way, and I'm only going to give Richards 4 because, you know, we needed him to get forward and offer something else there, and he didn't. And at the end of the day, he didn't really work well with Kavanagh either. And, you know, the first goal has come from their position because they couldn't organise themselves. So 4 for me.
4 for you. Okay. Fantastic, David. Why don't you jump off and come back on, and I'll go to Mike on the midfield. Sound good?
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Fantastic. Mike, over to you. I'll be curious your ratings for Danny Guthrie, Sean Kavanagh especially, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and I should also mention Brian Ruiz. And I'm going to say this, okay, because I'm someone that wanted Brian Ruiz to come to the club. I totally did. I don't think he's going to be a foam player anymore. I just don't understand why he played in this match. Let me just be the first to say it. I don't get it. Don't get why he played. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. Over to you, Mike, on the midfield for Fulham.
Okay, I'll start with Guthrie. I so want him to be the player who's going to dictate the game, but some of his passing was off. He gave away the foul. I know David will say that he's always a booking away. Watched him now a couple of games. Yeah, I've watched him a couple of games now, and when he has the ball, he's looking for someone to pass it to. And there's absolutely no movement. And he'll do the pass, you see him shake his head. So I feel he's trapped in that side with a team which has no movement. And I think that's what he's looking for. And I think he's worth a gamble for next year.
I agree with you, mate.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to give him a 5. I thought, you know, when we did something good, I thought he was one who was involved in it. So, yeah, 5 for him. For Tunnicliffe, it was a typical performance from Tunnicliffe, and he had a bit of difficulty when Roberts came on because it seemed to be him and Roberts who were swapping over left or the right and then back again, and you know, he was his normal running around energy wise but again, if you look at the second goal, he trots over to try and cut the bloke down, you know, stop him passing it. And it's just a trot, it's just a jog, and it's not a sprint. And I want to see a bit more from my players. But I'm going to stick with a 5 for him as well. And Kavanagh, unfortunately, was very disappointing. He wasn't strong enough for the first goal. He just let the player get past him. He wasn't tight enough and then was just brushed away, really. And I think that puts it down to his size. He really does need to get in the old gym during the summer. So I'm going to actually give him a 4. And Ruiz, I'm going to give I don't know. He's even on the pitch. He was just running around. He was just doing, I don't know what he did. What did he do, Dave? Because I can't remember.
I'll tell you in a minute.
I'll give him a 4, you know, but really he didn't do anything, you know, that's really an invisible performance, I have to say.
That's a great way to put it, Mike. An invisible performance. Okay, I like that. Okay, David, over to you. I'm going to give you the midfield. Let's talk about Danny Guthrie, Sean Kavanaugh, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and your friend Brian Ruiz.
Well, he certainly was invisible after Roberts came on. He was just kind of making up the numbers, really. He was hoping he could be subbed, but we hadn't got any left, so he was just sort of there because he was stuck there, a bit like his career at Fulham, that no one else wanted him, Russ, and so he was just stuck there anyway. And we're getting closer to that day when my four-fifths of you-know-what prediction comes true, unfortunately. So, never mind, but go back to that. I mean, yeah, Mike was at a loss because he even asked Mini Ruiz in the bar afterwards over a Coke what he thought of Ruiz because it was that nondescript. But I think we saw everything of Brian Ruiz there that sums up his Fulham career, though. He managed to come back and win the ball on the edge of our penalty box and to avert danger. And then seconds later, when he's trying to run away with the ball, he was shrugged off it and we were back under danger again. And we saw an opportunity to play a simple through ball, I think, to Hugo on the ground, failed. And then we did one where he lifted it over and put Hugo clear. So, you know, he kind of neutralises himself, really. He does one good thing and then he does another bad thing. Sometimes he does one good thing and more than one bad thing, unfortunately. But once Roberts came on, he was, unfortunately, completely anonymous. He was just trying to fill the gaps, really, and nothing else. He had no positive role to play whatsoever. But his corners, he did beat the near post on one corner, I remember. So you can't rate him completely badly for that. So for Ruiz, I'm actually going to give him 5 out of 10 because it was typical of him and there were flashes of you know, talent mixed in with his usual rubbish. Guthrie, you might not have heard me say this before, but he's just, you know, he's always one booking away from being sent off. But whatever it was Mike said I was going to say. Certainly, he's unfortunately a yellow card waiting to happen, Guthrie, every week. And I'm concerned that he's not the right player for us. Okay, you know, we're in a difficult position in a team where we're not doing very well. And perhaps if we were doing better, these scenarios may not happen. But I still think he is a bit reckless in these ones. And for his positive passing and good use of the ball at times, he makes up for it with also poor passing as well. So I'm going to give him 4.5. Tunnicliffe was, you know, I must admit he was quite sort of invisible for him because he's normally, if nothing else, in your face and running around full of energy. But I don't think he even managed that. He was certainly one who maybe was looking for his summer holidays. So I'm going to give him, I don't know, I think he contributed absolutely nothing really for him. I'm going to give him 4 out of 10. Kavanaugh, unfortunately, you know, the new whipping boy, I'm afraid. You know, Brian Ruiz, you know, you got off light today, mate. Kavanaugh, lightweight, let the guy go for the goals, started the rot, really contributed nothing to the match, and it's a terrible shame. We've been saying it week in, week out. Give the boy a rest, give him a break, you know. Or at least he could have had a chance to play in his supposed favoured position, you know, and that was whipped away from him because Kit wants to keep his favourite player, Richards, there. So, you know, he stayed on the pitch far too long, Kavanaugh, really, for him. You know, unless he'd have stayed at left back. Not his day at all. 3.5.
Okay. Wow. Very good take there, David. Enjoyed your ratings. Enjoyed both your ratings. All right, Mike, back to you. I'd be curious your thoughts on Ross McCormack and Hugo.
Okay, I'll just go back to Ruiz, actually. And, yeah, I forgot about
okay.
the ball through to Hugo, so that's worth an extra half. So, yeah, 4.5. Yeah, that's it. That's a really debate at Fulham over now. That's it. Move on. Hugo and McCormack. Yeah, for Hugo and McCormack. Oh, Hugo. I so loved it when he joined us, and his first half of the season performances once he got in the team when Kit took over were great, and you know, people shouldn't forget those goals. But he's on his way. He said goodbye to the Fulham coach driver yesterday, and you know, thank you for playing for us. But he just didn't contribute enough throughout his time, And yesterday, the one real chance he had, he messed up. And I wouldn't say it was an easy chance, but you know, he could have done better. And it was really a waste of him playing. You know, he said his goodbyes last week. And I'm going to give him a four, because he didn't really, apart from that one chance, for me, he really didn't contribute much. And McCormick, I'm going to give a five as well. You know, he, again, like the rest of the team, did he put that much effort in? He looked back to his moody self yesterday, which, considering he got a hat-trick last week, you would have thought he would have been buzzing. But for me, it was a very lackluster performance. And so, yeah, five for McCormick.
Okay, very good. David, over to you.
Well, obviously McCormack did contribute to the second goal. He was the one whose free kick it was, and there were a couple of good deliveries from him free kick wise. But I admit he didn't seem to have his usual buzz about himself, and he was rolling around on the floor as well a few times, which he tends to do a bit. Mind you, I think you would be if you had to put up with some of that rubbish as well. You know, just want the ground to open up. I'm sure he does feel like that. What have I let myself in for? But he was one of our better players. But the highest I've given anyone so far is five. So, yeah, I concur with Mike and give him a five.
Okay.
And likewise with Hugo, really. Didn't contribute very much. Didn't win any balls in the air, I don't think, at all. Wasn't really part of the play. Had one chance when he was put clear by Ruiz and fluffed it. So, 4 out of 10.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, real quick, let's talk about the substitutes. I think they were on long enough that we could talk about it. I definitely want, David, I want your take on Pat Roberts. I'm curious your thoughts on how he played. And, of course, I also want to get your take on Matt Smith.
Well, Pat Roberts, you know, we've all been excited to see him. And, you know, he was a little live wire. He was on the left, on the right, in the middle, buzzing around, trying to take people on. Didn't always work. He actually was kind of the instigating of what began the move for their third goal. He went forward and he was dispossessed. And I know it's not his fault, but he lost the ball and no one else then closed it down for their third goal. So whilst in the main it was a positive contribution, there was obviously this note of caution that, you know, if you lose the ball, you have to get back there. But he did actually, on another occasion, right in front of us actually where we were, won the ball very nicely. I think he had a bit of a battle with Mitchell Johnson, and he's a bit of a brute anyway, and he didn't seem fazed by it at all. A couple of times looked like he might go the whole way, you know, got into the air, had a shot. It was certainly, you know, it was one of the more positive performances. It begs the question, why didn't he get a chance to start or come on earlier? The issue, I suppose, he had is that the team, you know, he was playing in a free role, and you need to have the right people around him otherwise, and say Ruiz and Tunnicliffe were having to move all over the place to kind of accommodate him. But, you know, in what was a poor performance, it was one of the better ones, I think. So I think I'm going to give him a 6.5.
Okay.
As for Doctor Who, well, you know,
Doctor
he
Who,
came
yes.
on as Plan B. He came on to do a job. He did cause them some problems. We had a couple of runs into the box. He was quite strong. He was prepared to take the guys on. Scored a nice goal. Could have got a second goal. Was causing problems in there that caused them the own goal. And so on the basis that he actually did, you know, his job, he came on in the short space of time and he did his job. Not very nice finish. I'm going to give him 7 out of 10 and make him my man of the match because he actually scored.
Wow. Matt Smith is your man of the match. Very interesting take there, David, on both players. Mike, over to you. I'm really curious your thoughts on Pat Roberts. I do agree with David that I think he made a little bit of a difference. I think both players made a difference, but I'm really curious your ratings for both players.
Roberts, it was good to see him finally get on. And I think Dave's a bit harsh on him losing the ball leading to the third goal. I mean, it was deep into the Norwich half, so there's a lot. It's not a Ruiz lost 30 yards from our own goal, so there's lots of players to stop it. So a bit harsh, but that's what you're going to get with Roberts. What we saw yesterday is was what, 20 minutes, 25 minutes of what he has to offer, which is he can run at players, he's got a few tricks. He's going to be frustrating at times, as wingers are, or those kind of tricky players are. But he, I thought he showed enough that you have to question Kit and say, you know, why hasn't he been an option? Why haven't we used him at certain times? And, you know, the team wasn't playing well yesterday and he came on and made a little bit of a difference. So, you know, there's games where we've been two up, three up, and he still hasn't brought him on. And, you know, even two or three down. So, yeah, I thought it showed Kit up a little bit yesterday when he came on. And I'm sure, you know, if he'd done a bit better, there would have been a lot more questions to answer. But yeah, he did okay, and I'm going to give him a 5.5. I thought, you know, he showed what he could offer. And hopefully we can get him to sign that contract. Otherwise, I think he'd be off in the summer. We can't let him start the season just on a one-year contract. So that's what they should be doing today, tomorrow, getting him in the room and giving them a pen and saying, sign here, and you're not leaving until you do. With Smith, it's, you know, everyone knows my view on him and how we end up playing, and he wouldn't have been my choice to come on, but fair dues to him. He got involved. He made things happen for himself. You know, he did have a couple of runs into the box. There was one where he could have pulled it back to Tunnicliffe, and Tunnicliffe was certainly not happy that it didn't come back to him. But, you know, he took his goal well, and I'd have to agree with Dave. I thought he was the best player yesterday, really, because he, you know, he did score and he made things happen for himself. So I'm going to give him a 6.5. But I do think he's lumbering. You know, there's a lot of player there, a lot of weight, and I just can't see him being. I couldn't see him leading a promotion team. You know, yes, an option, plan B, plan C option, but yeah, he's not my kind of player. But fair dues to him yesterday, he did well.
Well, good for you. I almost called you David. Sorry, that wouldn't be nice. I'm kidding you, David. no, I was going to say it's good of you to, you know, again, to explain your thoughts on him, and I respect that, Mike. Before we move on, I want to go back to you and ask you again about Pat Robertson and talk a little bit of what David said. Do you agree with David's take that he needs a certain type of player to play with him to really get the best out of him?
No, not really. I think the hardest thing with Roberts is deciding where he's going to play and in what formation we're going to play to accommodate him, because that's what you have to do with a player like that. I don't think it's as simple as to say he takes Ruiz's place. So, and I don't think he's good enough or strong enough to play in a sort of wide midfield four. So his best role is going to be off the striker as one of a front three, maybe. I don't think he's right for the centre of the pitch yet. Need to keep him out on the wings, take the full-backs on where they double up on him, because he can get in the box and he can cause us problems, cause other teams problems. So, yeah, I just hope he stays and signs and we get to see more of him next year.
I agree with you. I hope he signs that contract. And there are a few players, Mike, that we need to be watching out for. He's certainly one of them. Marcus Bettinelli is another one. Emerson Hyman's another one. These are all players, I believe all three are on their final year. So Fulham have some work to do on their young, talented players. They need to re-sign some of them. They have already, but they need to sign some other ones. All right, guys. Let's go to the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is the full manager. David, I so want your rating, but I want to start with Mike because I'm going to leave it to you. So, first of all, Mike, give me your rating for the full manager. I definitely want David's rating. So I'm going to give him the follow-through. I want to go to you first, though, Mike.
Well, I did obviously give him a zero. I think it was a Bournemouth game or some game where we got tonked. I'm not going to give him a zero, but I'm struggling to two or three, really. Two and a half out. I don't know why.
Two and a half, okay.
Maybe because it might be his last game, you know, and I don't want him to go away with a zero. But
okay.
It's just disappointing.
Okay. 2.5. Okay. I got that. David, the floor is yours.
Well, I hinted at it yesterday during the match, as you probably saw my tweet. At the stage before he'd made any substitutions, he was on for a big fat zero, most certainly, because he'd picked an uninspiring lineup. He made a crap substitution when Haugland went off. And he was on for a big fat zero, but he did at least bring on Roberts that everyone wanted to see, and he did bring on Smith. So we did have a bit of a plan B, and Smith scored. So I can't give him a zero either, much as I'd like to, you know. I should actually give him a zero. We should always give him a zero for thinking we are a show for Americans only, mind you. That's a different matter. But we are obviously, you know, if you're honest, if you're listening, we're not rating what happened last week or whatever, you know, that he once picked a good lineup or whatever. We have to rate purely on what he did yesterday. So
sure.
I'm trying to think of another interesting Mimi-esque one, actually. How about this one? Get your calculators out, boys. How about the square root of 2, which is about, I don't know what it is, actually 1.4 or something, isn't it, if I remember rightly? So
okay.
The square root of 2 will be his rating.
Okay, fantastic. Very, very well thought out there, David. I like that. Okay, right back to you. I'm curious your thoughts about Norwich City, and because I look at them, I think that they should be the favorites to win the playoffs, but we'll see what happens. Again, it's four interesting teams that are left, but I'm curious your thoughts of Norwich City just yesterday.
Well, I didn't think they were that good, really. I thought it was the first half until, you know, we've let them score. They weren't that dangerous. For me, they only really started playing once, you know, once they got that first goal. Until then, you know, you could have almost seen it go to a 0-0, almost. So I think they're okay. They did a reasonable job at times, but I don't think they were, you know, superb compared to some teams. They're certainly going to have to do a lot better if they want to get through the playoffs, because, you know, they've got a buoyant Brentford who are going to be in there maybe in the final, perhaps. Ipswich are going to be very much up for a game against their neighbours, obviously. And Middlesbrough, we know, have been in the main a tight team. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, the team that we thought were the best team have fallen out, of course, of the playoffs, you know, which is the shock. And the bad news is we've now got to face Derby again next season.
We do.
It's quite interesting to see who else we have. I know George Williams is delighted that we'll be playing Milton Keynes, his old team and his local team next season, and that'll give him extra impetus, hopefully, to get back from his injury and everything like that. And it'll be obviously very interesting to talk on later shows who the new teams are that are coming in and who we're not going to be playing. So that's another issue. But no, I didn't think they were that good. Norwich, I think they did okay, but they didn't blow me away really. I think they had one eye on the playoffs in their performance, and they really did enough. And not a lot more to beat a poorly organised side. So really, they only did what they had to do. So I'm going to give them 6.5.
Okay, very good there, David. Mike, how about you? What are your thoughts on Norwich City yesterday?
Well, I mean, for a team to be in the playoffs already, I thought they fielded a strong team. And as we said in the preview show, you know, don't be worried about playing against a disorganised team like ourselves. But they played within themselves and they won 4-2. So thank God for that. Otherwise, you know, if they'd been at full pelt, we would have been on the back of another 5, possibly even 6, I reckon. You know, they took their foot off the gas a little bit. Obviously, looking at injuries, you know, now they're in the playoffs. But I mean, they showed why they're there, why they're in the top 6, and they got some strong players, they got some pacey players, and they're organised as a unit. And speaking to a couple of Norwich fans on the train back, it was interesting, you know, speaking about the change of manager and what happened there, what changes were made to the team, and he just tweaked a couple of things, got them attacking a bit more, and that's what's led him, you know, into the playoffs. And as David says, you know, Derby, we're all shocked. They were easily the best team first half of the season, and they've just fallen off the cliff. And yes, we've got to play them again next year, and probably will be Burnley as well. So that's possibly two away games we're not going to win. And as we all know, we never win anything at Burnley. And yeah, you know, good luck to them. I hope Norwich, as I said the other day, I hope Norwich do go up. I think if they stay down, it's going to be a tough year next year anyway. But that will just make it tougher for us.
That's a good point. And listen, I become friendly with James Ken, who we had on the show on Friday. And for him, I wish him the best. He's a great guy. And so for his sake, I definitely wouldn't mind seeing Norwich go right back up. I certainly wouldn't mind that at all. All right, guys, let's now talk about the ref. Oh, Mike, did you give a rating to Norwich City? I'm sorry.
Nope.
I'll give him a 7.
Okay, fair enough. Of course, David's right there to make sure that you have, which is David's way. I like that, David. All right, over to you, David. I want your thoughts on the ref. You've been our referee expert all season, so how does this ref stand up over the course of the year? Because we've seen some really not great refs, so I'm curious your thoughts on the ref yesterday.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as expert. My practical I refed a couple of matches at uni, and I've run the line quite a few times, but I wouldn't say I was an expert. But Mini Ruiz tells me when he turns 14, he wants to become a ref because you have to be 14. So I might have to be his mentor yet. But in regards yesterday, it was in the main again because Norwich didn't exert themselves and everything. I think it was a fairly easy game, really, for him to ref. He was quite right for the bookings for Guthrie, and I remember for Johnson as well. That was a bit of a tackle. But I can't think of any really contentious decisions there that was given. I think it was an easy game, an end-of-season game for him to ref, and he did it pretty well. He seemed to ref okay, you know, communicated all right. No issues. I can't think of any contentious decisions at all. It might may correct me on that if I've sort of forgot about it, but no, I give him a solid 7 out of 10.
Okay, very good. Mike, how about you on the ref?
Yeah, I mean, he was fine. Like David says, it was an easy game to ref. He probably came off the pitch and thought, well, I wish every game was like that. But if anything, he held off giving out cards, and eventually Guthrie did a foul, which, you know, he said, oh, you know, sod it, I will have to give you a card now. He could have probably given him one earlier. But, he did okay. And am I right in saying he's the one who refereed the Wolves game, the cup game and that?
Yeah. So, Brentford away when we lost 2-1 and Wolves in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a... There's certainly nothing from those games which makes me think he's a bad ref at all. So, be interested to see if he gets any promotion up to the Premier League.
Okay, very, very good. And rating, Mike?
Yeah, I'll give him a 7.
Okay.
Considering the appalling level of refereeing we've seen this year, I think it may have got a little bit better in the second half of the season, but early on, I think it was a bit of a shock both for the fans and some of the players left over from the Premier League, because the standard is just so different, and I'm sure David would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. Mike, David actually had his man of the match. We'll just mention this real quick as Matt Smith. Would he be your man of the match, or is there someone else?
No, it was Matt Smith by half a point over Bettinelli.
Half a point. Okay, fantastic. All right.
It's not one.
Guys, we've got about 5 minutes
minute
left before we wrap up. I was thinking about just a little bonus topic to really end the show with. Again, we're going to be doing review shows, you know, looking forward to next season, you know, who we want to stay, who we want to leave, and basically rating the entire team, kit, everyone for the season. We're going to be doing that starting next week. We're still going to have plenty of shows. Everyone's asking, well, what's going to happen over the summer? Not a problem. We're still going to have plenty of shows. Don't worry about that. We have plenty to do. And but I'm going to leave you with one final topic, and this is going to be the final topic for both of you, and then we're going to wrap up the show. And it does involve the full manager. Mike, do you think we will have any news about the full manager this week? Just your opinion.
Okay, so do I think there will be any news this week?
Yes.
I think there will be. Yes, I believe there will be, and I've got suspicions for various reasons that there will be, yeah.
Okay, fantastic, because, again, I had said to David off-air that if they were to make a move, Mike, I think it has to be, like, almost immediate. It has to happen very soon, because Fulham need to be really planning the summer. I mean, right away. I know they can't make signings right away, but they have to have their plan moving forward right from the get-go. And that means they obviously have to sign off on who's going to be running the team, who's going to be the manager. So that's why I feel that if they don't make a change this week, he's going to be the full manager. We're talking about Kit Simons. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think there's a number of factors now, Russ. It's not as black and white as that. You know, he's had his little good run, which,
yeah.
You know, may have put some doubts or in the back of people's minds who's going to make these decisions. But it's complicated now because Warburton, let's be honest, has been favourite or has been mentioned that he would be the man. He's now possibly not going to be available for the rest of the month. So,
okay. You
know, there's a manager who, you know, he might not join us in the middle of June. We need to be planning, you know, this week. We need to start looking at players. And yeah,
right.
Then the question arises, well, if we start putting in contract offers to players whose contracts are up, which we're allowed to do, at the end of this season, then who's authorising those? You know, is it Rig? You know, is it Kit recommending? You know, because let's say if it's Sam, he might not want those players. So I think for the season tickets as well, there's 2 weeks left of that. And some fans want to know if Kit's going to be in place. So I'm pretty sure this week we're going to hear something, whether it's Kit staying, Kit going, but it might not be that we have a named manager to replace him.
Okay, very, very interesting way to break that down, because we're talking about managers that could potentially be available, but not for a while. So but I'm glad that you brought up the whole situation with what's going on with season tickets, and then of course, you know, having to make plans like right away of decisions. There's decisions that need to be made right away. David, unfortunately, we only have 2 minutes left, so I just want real quick your thought about this.
Well, I'm actually very positive for Kit next season now, because I've seen the sneak previews of what the kit will look like, and I think it's a much better shirt than last year.
Oh, that's pretty funny,
but,
David.
Let's talk about his good run. Remember, his good run was winning 1-0 at Blackpool, who were useless, and drawing at home to Wigan and Rotherham. So I don't think his good run is such a good one, really. But I do fear that in a true Fulham style, this thing will be another dragging out. So I'm frightened that we won't hear anything next week, because I need to renew my season ticket still. So I really need there to be news that will make me positive for next year. But I am worried that the way we do things is never act quickly enough.
Okay. So you think this situation's going to linger. I get it. All right, guys, listen, we only have 1 minute left. Like I mentioned, we're going to be doing several shows over the summer. Don't worry about it. We're going to have plenty of content, and I look forward to doing that. And I just want to, before we go, real quick, thank you to everyone for listening to College Talk. We just finished our fourth season of covering Fulham Football Club. Thank you for listening. For David and Mike, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to College Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
See you, Mike. See you, Russ. Thanks, everyone.
Boys.